Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I love it on Saturday mornings. We started out strong live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's a Doc Talk podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend. Greg Roscoe, yours truly, Mark Mancini, playing co-host, running the board, 347-205-9631. This show goes by quick, and I know there's a lot of listeners that chime in and everything. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Greg, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, boy, this is going to be a good one today, mixed in with other stuff, the allergic nose and a recap of butter lettuce.
Good. Mark, thank you. That's the high bar for today. I'm fine. Weather in Pittsburgh is a little chilly. We haven't hit the real warm days yet. It's kind of 50, wet, and a little bit overcast. But we are getting the blooms coming, the blossoming coming, and Pittsburgh is beautiful. They can get a hold of me, and I've got I have had several get a hold of me at doctalk1@outlook.com or on Facebook, doctalk on Facebook. You know, Mark, I have been getting some interesting questions. And, you know, we've had an allergy show a little bit ago, and what stimulated the topic is several patients have asked, why does my nose get all plugged and I can't breathe? And then later in the day, I'm okay. I've had a very interesting discussion with a patient that says, am I allergic to Viagra? And I said, well, why do you say that? He said, every time I take it, I can't breathe through my nose. So that kind of stimulated the little bit of a discussion today. And, you know, where we want to start with is always the basics. You know, what's going on in the nose? We know the nose is an organ in the middle of our face. There's two chambers, one on the right, one on the left. But the interesting anatomy, which goes to the question of the week, are the turbinates. What are the turbinates? Well, the turbinates are two structured membranes. We have a little bit of bone in them, and they have a large vascular supply, meaning that there's a lot of blood flow and blood vessels in these turbinates. And there are three turbinates on the left, three turbinates on the right. And, you know, they help us function. And, you know, our body is all about very sophisticated functioning. And, you know, if I can continue, Mark, here with a little bit of a functional aspect, is that the nose, you know, it's not a simple organ. You know, the nose moisturizes the air that goes into our lungs. It cleanses it or filters it, which is, you know, very important because, again, it, that air is coming internally, you know, to us. It does also help with the function of smell, and we know about smell. So, you know, it is warming, moisturizing, filtering, and helping with smell. So very sophisticated. One thing that it does do that could lead to some problems, it could swell, engorge, and make an awful lot of phlegm or mucus or snot. It is a secretory organ. It makes mucus. And so when the nose is challenged by antigen, it makes snot. And that's where we get into trouble and we get into this allergic nose situation. You know, we have, Mark, about 10 to 15 million patients with really this allergic nose symptom, or, you know, the snottiness, the congestion, post-nasal drip, sneezing, congestion, itchy, watery eyes, coughing, sore throat. It all comes from the nose. So that's kind of where I'd like to start, Mark. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, yeah, and now as we get these things going, Aaron basically out of Visalia, California, chiming in, she said sometimes when you blow your nose to clear your nose in the shower and stuff, she notices, you know, you think the snot is coming out, but more or less blood starts to come out. Is that being more or less, are you blowing too hard where you're opening up a vessel in the nose? Because I've done that before, and I don't really run into that problem. You know, if you blow your nose in the shower or something, and hold one nostril in and then the other, you don't usually get that. But what would cause the blood coming out of that?
Well, Mark, you know, very good. What I was going to do, just so you know, down the road, our next series of topics still deal with the nose, but nosebleeds. You know, nosebleeds are a very common malady that we see today. Another word for it is epistaxis. By going to her question, realize the nose, especially in the center of the nose, on the septum, there's a fine network of blood vessels. There are small arteries and there are small veins. And, you know, with regard to blowing, realize it's a tremendous amount of force people generate when they blow their nose. So if their nose is a little bit dry, a little bit scabby, maybe they pick at their nose a little bit. When they do get, you know, mucus and they blow, they actually damage the blood vessels. They tear a blood vessel and they will get blood in the mucus overall or cause a nosebleed. And, you know, today, Mark, we have a lot of our patients that I use the word anticoagulated, meaning that they're taking, you know, aspirin, Xarelto, Coumadin, a variety of things for heart disease, for vascular disease, which enhances this bleeding. So in all, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious, and we need to, you know, again, moderation's the ticket here. You know, as far as blowing our nose in the shower, and that's sometimes a little bit of a remedy for an allergic nose. You know, if the nose is a little swollen, mucus, you're right. You get in the shower, you have that humidity, it loosens things up. And you mentioned about closing one side and then blowing, then closing the other side and blowing. That's fine, but let's do it in moderation. You know, I tell my patients, don't try to do a cleansing blow. You know, one powerful blow and clean the nose. Gentle. This is a very sensitive organ. Let's treat it as such, very gently, okay? Does that help answer the question?
I think it does, man. That's unbelievable. Micah from Jacksonville, Florida, talking about, and we talked about this in the pre-chat with his question, you know, a lot of people battle this as they get older. We talked about it on previous shows, and now there's concoctions, I guess, that are coming out that can relieve this. Is the earwax can push down into the canal, and it's blocking the hearing, and you can only hear on one side. We've talked about pulling that earwax out. Well, Micah comes up with something now, basically says there's a thing where he lives where a guy can put a candle in your ear and pull that wax out. That's, I don't know if that's more problems than it's worth instead of seeing a guy like you, an ear, nose, and throat specialist.
Well, as always, let me just say this. Dealing with our ears and our hearing and our eardrum, let's be cautious. You know, as far as I know the process. The process is called candling, where they do take a hollow candle with a wick on it, and it's like a straw.
Right.
And what is done, you light the wick on the outside of the ear, and then the warm air should soften the wax and then draw it out. That's the purpose and the kind of the idea about candling. I would say this, you know, in my experience, you know, we're in an area, Mark, where we have a lot of Amish families and a lot of Amish people that do super things. But one thing they do is candling. And, Mark, I can't tell you the number of times that the wax, instead of drawing out, gets impacted in the ear. and you realize wax gets very, very hard. So I've had several patients, Mark, where we've actually taken them to the operating room and delicately try to tease this wax out of their ear. So that I would say I'm aware of, you know, this process and this technology. I think it's a little bit dangerous. And,
yeah, now,
you know, the story.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, and to finish your story, and then I'll throw 2 cents in on it.
Story being, you know, we know that in a normal ear, the wax is formed at the opening of the ear. And that's, you know, for protection. And typically, if the wax is being pushed down, it usually is from a mechanical event, either a bobby pin, either a Q-tip, either some type of a duller instrument that pushes the wax in. So that, you know, one story is leave the wax alone. In most cases, the wax will melt out in a normal situation as long as there's not a lot of inflammation in the ear canal. So if the wax is being pushed in, now, Mark, in some cases with hearing aids where we're using an earpiece, you know, on an aid, the wax gets pushed in. What what I've said before is let's think about maintenance for earwax. Let's think about going to our professional once every 6 months, once a year, have it done professionally. Again, I make the analogy, you wouldn't stick something in your eye if you had a problem. Well, your ear is a very sensitive organ as well. Let's respect it. Let's take care of it. Let's not give it any more problems. Go ahead.
No, it's rightfully so. And when you look at that, is this more or less as you get older in life, the wax buildup in the canal, it knocks out the hearing that you have to pull this out? Because we know it's not going to come out by itself. More ways than one, you can sleep on your left side or whatever, and maybe miraculously a big chunk will come out in the middle of the night out of your ear, but that's very rare because it's so impacted in there. You know, that needs to be pulled out by you.
Correct, Mark. You know, as far as you gave me a couple of questions. With regard to earwax, where earwax is a lifetime situation from when one is born through adolescence and then through adulthood. So that, Mark, we do have pediatric children coming in that their ears are full of wax, that we have them in on a routine basis, and it's a matter of a kind of a gradient with them being able to clean their ear out in the office without hurting them. Because most moms want their kids' ears clean. If not, they think their child is dirty. But, yeah, we clean it out. And also with our, you know, middle-aged people aren't too bad. It's the elderly where maybe their skin is getting very dry. They're wearing hearing aids. You know, there's reasons that this wax doesn't come out, that it's dry, scaly. And, Mark, you know what else happens in the ear? You know, we have the ear-forming cells. But, Mark, we also have hair cells. We have hairs that grow at the opening of our ear canal. And we feel that was designed for protection, men greater than women. If we're not doing a lot of maintenance, the hair grows into the wax. And then, of course, it becomes very difficult to get out on your own. And then we need to get them in to start to put them on a variety of drops to soften it and even take them to the operating room to clean it out and then put them on a maintenance program. But, I mean, if you think it's a simple thing, indeed it is. But, Mark, I go to the point we need a little bit of maintenance on our bodies, our ears in particular. So I hope that
you bring up an interesting point. Yeah, you definitely bring up an interesting point. And, you know, when you look at the hair that grows in that ear, you usually see it a lot, and sometimes it can be noticeable when you're looking at people.
Yes, sir.
To say the least. But, you know, I met a guy a long time ago, and he tried it, because usually when you go to the barber, they'll take the razor and they'll, you know, buzz the ear around it,
sure.
Take any hair around, you know, the earlobe and everything like that. This guy took it, and this might open up another subject on this. This guy took it to the point where he would, you know, if you're going to wax something, he would put hot wax there near the ear and then pull it from there. And it was just simply amazing. And I said to myself, I've never seen this. But, yeah, putting hot wax on the outside of the ear, maybe near the ear, inside a little, and then just taking a thing and just pulling the hair right out. Have you heard anything about that? And I'm sure you've...
Mark...
You know, down the line with your experience and knowledge, if seen something.
Yes, sir, I have. And, you know, as far as the two openings that I deal with, that's the nasal opening and then the ear opening, they both have hair cells. We know there's nasal hair, and then, of course, there's the external hair at the ear. People will come in. They've attempted, their esthetician has tried to remove that, and Mark, it's a mess. We see in the hair cells around where they pulled the hair out, they get severe nasal pain as well as ear pain. Those hairs are not to be pulled or plucked. They can be trimmed, but again, it's a very sensitive area, and realize our nose in particular, there's an awful lot of bacteria that if one is pulling those hairs out, they tend to get infected. The same thing with the ear. Don't want to pull that out. You know, the ear canal skin is very thin and very sensitive, very susceptible to infection. We need, Mark, we need to respect it. We need to do, you know, I still kind of harp on this maintenance. Go in, you know, now, occasionally we'll do that for our patients. We'll trim the ear canal hair. If they're going to a barber, some of the barbers will trim the hair on the ear canal, the outside of the ear, as well as the nasal hair with the appropriate scissors that are a protective type thing. But let's respect those areas. You know, again, we're dealing with very sensitive organs, and I say that again. Our ear and our nose. Let's respect it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, the irritation and everything like that, and you've seen it. And sometimes they even take the wax. And there's an interesting thing with this one, and I know we want to get into the butter lettuce, but they'll put that wax, because you'll get a little of the hair coming out of your nose. They'll put a little wax like that, and they'll pull it too. And that's where you can probably rip a vessel or something, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yes, sir, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, the nose, anatomically, you know, getting down to basics, there's a circular ring of hair in the nose, and there are hair follicles. Well, when someone has been messing with that area, either with wax or using dirty instruments, they get a malady called folliculitis, which is a very painful swelling. So that when people come in with this, their nose is swollen, it is enlarged, you can't touch their nose because of the pain. It's all cause and effect. Let's prevent those kind of situations. Okay?
Right. Right. That's a way to break it all down. Now, let's get into the butter lettuce. I know last week we had a gentleman from Boulder, Colorado, talking about, I think it was John, said butter lettuce. He tried it, he liked it, and you want to continue that recap?
I was just, you know, as far as the word butter lettuce, the words butter lettuce, you know, we were talking about our veggies and the different food groups, and lettuce, of course, being one. Butter lettuce is a term, I think it's probably more on the West Coast than the East Coast, but indeed, butter lettuce is a very sweet type of lettuce. Now, nutrition-wise, it has no difference than any other lettuce. But as far as the butter lettuce, it's used in many, many foods, many salads, and the taste is the big thing with butter lettuce. So it's a good veggie. You know, it's a green leaf veggie, good nutrition, and overall there's virtually no downside to eating buttered lettuce.
Wow,
so I thought,
that's amazing.
Again, just a little bit of a take on that. And like I'm saying, I think it's more regional than it is national overall.
Right. That's the way it looks. Okay, so I think we've got that thing down, Kat, and talking about all the other stuff. Where do you want to go with about less than 10 minutes in this great show of yours, my friend?
Well, you know, we were talking about this allergic, you know, the allergic nose. And, again, let me just finish up a little bit here that, you know, we talk about anatomy. And I'll get to my point here in a second. The anatomy of the nose and the turbinates. The turbinates are these organs in the nose that actually swell and cause congestion. They cause the congestion or the obstruction because we get increased blood flow. Mark, and I mentioned that I have several patients that come in and say, I take Viagra and my nose swells. Well, realize if I can, it's a little out of my range, but, you know, the male organ and the nose are very similar with regard to vascular flow. And, again, we increase blood flow to the male organ, but also the nose when we're taking Viagra. That's the correlation. It's not that one has an allergy to Viagra. It's the fact that we've increased the blood flow to the nose and to the male organ. That's all that it is. And then as the body metabolizes the Viagra, the congestion, the swelling goes away. And, you know, it all has to do with blood flow. So that overall, when someone says, boy, I'm congested, I lay down on my left side at night and I can't breathe. You know, overall, it's because of the way the blood flows, the way the nose engorges, which then leads us to treatment. Well, what do we do with this engorged nose? And like I'm saying, with Viagra, once you take the medication and it metabolizes, the nose tends to go back to a normal situation. You know, with regard to, you know, the allergic nose, some simple things. You know, if it's an ongoing situation where you're having the snot, the sore throat, the coughing, let's get you in an allergy test. You need to be tested to see what the cause and effect is. You know, how do we treat you? Well, we'd like to avoid, if you're out cutting grass without a mask and you happen to have, you know, 3 or 4 acres you're cutting, it may not be a bad idea to wear a mask when you're cutting the grass. You know, you may want to take an antihistamine, like an over-the-counter antihistamine that'll help decrease the congestion in the mucus. We can also put you on steroids. A more permanent way to handle it, Mark, is allergy shots. We call it immunotherapy. If one has a lot of sensitivity to the seasonal allergens, as well as the perennial allergens, allergy shots work. They, you know, again, they take time, but indeed they work and get rid of the symptoms. So that overall, you know, we have that plethora of therapy. There's also some home therapy, which I thought was interesting. And some home remedies people do. Vitamin C. You know, a lot of people take vitamin C, which help is a reparative vitamin to help take care of any inflammation, especially in the nose. Ginger and tea, somewhat helpful also. You know, drinking more water. Water helps dilute irritants, swelling, washing away any irritants. We mentioned steam, you know, steam in the shower. That loosens up the mucus. We have saline irrigations where you do a little bit of buffered salt water, you know, in the nose that helps to rinse away things. Another item of interest is apple cider vinegar. That helps with allergies, especially this allergic rhinitis. That's kind of, you know, the potpourri of therapy. Now realize these therapies don't work for everybody. And depending on your health and other medications you're taking, you know, consult your professionals to see indeed if they'll be helpful for you. So that overall, that was the gist of, you know, what I'd like to say today about allergic rhinitis. And, you know, I did talk a little bit about Viagra, But there's other medications also that when they're taken, they will cause the nose to swell. And, you know, again, you need to consult your physician, but I'd like to make you aware that that can happen frequently. So, Mark, that was our presentation here on the allergic nose. And, you know, in summary, it's a very sophisticated organ. It does a lot for us, you know, by moisturizing, by cleansing, helping us with smell, filtration. You know, it directs airflow into the lungs. So very important organ. We want to, you know, keep it clean, but indeed we don't want to be picking at it or contaminating it. You know, we have a lot of our patients, the nose gets a little dry, and of course they like to put their finger in their nose. Let's keep our fingers out of our nose. We don't want to get a staph infection in that area. So again, I talk about respect. Let's respect our nose. Let's take care of it, you know, give it the care it needs, and be very, very gentle with it. So kind of my presentation on this allergic nose.
Yeah, and when you break that thing down, I mean, and put that to bed right now, the topic next week, and I know we're talking about next week's thing we were talking about in the pre-chat. Why don't you share with the listeners what we're going to talk about next week?
We were talking about the nose. And, you know, again, we talked about the anatomy of the nose. You know, we have the septum. I think a lot of us have heard about a deviated septum. We also talk about a lot of blood flow into the nose, as well as the air circulation that helps govern by the turbinates, and then the allergies of the nose. So I thought next week, again, frequent things that bother millions of people, and epistaxis or nosebleeds are a very common malady that we see usually at seasonal change in the spring and then in the fall going into winter. So it's something we see in the office, and our people are trained to help take care of these. And then the important thing, Mark, with this too, as I alluded to earlier, was anticoagulation. You know, we have people that are taking a lot of blood thinners because of their vascular situation, what they need to do to maintain their lives. One thing that we normally do is if we can stop these anticoagulations, at least temporarily, with the help of their cardiologist, their internist, their family doctor, so that overall we're on the same page, that we're not hurting our patient, and indeed we're helping them get through this little bump in the road. And usually with nosebleeds, you know, we talk about cauterization and things like that. But we have to indeed have the nose in pretty good health. And again, we have to make sure that their blood's going to clot. And then again, we can cauterize, try to get this to heal. And Mark, the thing that I do believe in, and you've heard me talk about it before, is maintenance. We want to maintain the health of the nose. And again, with allergy, but also with nosebleeds. So it is something, you know, and I talk about that with the ears, with the nose, with the other parts of the body. My goal in our treatment is to maintain our patient's health, Mark. And that's what our show's about. We don't want the peaks and the valleys. We want our patient's health to stay nice, smooth, level, and have them experience good health season to season to season.
No, I couldn't put it much better than the way you laid it out for everybody and the great listeners across this country and loaded up as we approach 300 live almost and tuning in each and every week with their great questions and everything, and just so blessed to do this show with you each and every Saturday. Let everybody know, Greg, how they can reach you if they're in the Pittsburgh area. Check out your medical place and everything.
Oh, love to have them check out my medical offices. My phone number, if they'd ever be in the area and have a problem, 814-375-0455. DocTalk1@outlook.com or DocTalk on Facebook. I appreciate the questions, comments, and Mark, I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate each and all your knowledge and everything that you bring here each week, and I'm blessed to, you know, co-host this thing with you and get these questions out, and you break them down with that expertise. Well, as we wrap this show up for – yeah, I'm sorry.
I have one more thing. I have an email from new listeners in Newport News, Virginia.
Wow.
There's Newport News. There's Eden, Xavier, and little Grayson. He's about a week old, and Grayson is listening to the show today with their family.
Well, that's what it's all about, getting people to get this thing out and get their, you know, get the questions. There's, you know, you don't hear shows like this, and we're just so blessed to bring this to the network and each and every week, like I said. So for Greg Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, now part of Mancini Media, and get the word out. Till next week, have a blessed one, and thank you very much for tuning in.